The state reverses its decision to reduce summer ferry service, but cuts to service will happen in the future. And the Tidelands lease between Skagway and White Pass Yukon Railroad moves closer to completion. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The state recently reversed its decision to reduce operations this summer on the Alaska Marine Highway System. That decision came after the Department of Transportation realized thousands of summer travelers would be affected if ferry service was cut. But as ferry officials told the Marine Transportation Advisory Board last week, there will be cuts in the future. KHNS's Margaret Friedenauer reports.
The ferry system is facing a 1-2 punch to its budget. Like most departments within the state, the plummeting price of oil is affecting revenues. But the ferry system is also losing another source of money, something called a fuel trigger. That's a formula that provides additional funding for some state agencies when oil prices are high. The fuel trigger was estimated to provide $5.3 million in the next budget for the ferry system, but low oil prices eliminated that funding, leaving officials with an even bigger revenue gap. Deputy Commissioner Captain Mike Newsell says he proposed cutting ferry service by taking three ferries offline this summer.
The nature of the budget-saving measures was going to be the Malaspina, the Taku, and the Chiniga being laid up in July, August, and September.
But thousands of travelers had already purchased summer tickets for those ships. As of mid-February, more than 1,400 summer itineraries had been reserved, totaling about 5,600 passengers. That amounts to a revenue of $694,000.
The governor didn't like that idea. I mean, we sold tickets, we told people we were going to sail the ships, and now we're going to cancel those runs and attempt, if possible, to rebook them on different ships, cancel itineraries, change your plans. I'm sure some would not be able to make the transition, and the capacity of the remaining ships serving those communities may not be enough to cover all of that demand.
With that in mind, Newsell said Governor Walker shifted $6.2 million from other parts of the DOT budget to make sure the ferry service could run as advertised this summer. That's what the governor wants to do, but Newsell warned the advisory board that the legislature has the final say. He also says that the reprieve won't last long. The state is already looking at how the budget shortfall will affect winter schedules.
I think we all need to be aware that unless there's a dramatic recovery in the price of oil in the state budget coffers, that this was really just the first round of cuts. All schedules going forward, including and starting with the winter schedule that we'll be working on shortly, will need to be looked at with a very fine-tooth thistle comb.
It might seem that low oil prices would be a good thing for a department that uses nearly 11 million gallons of fuel each year. But low oil prices mean no fuel trigger, leaving the Marine Highway to pay the full retail price for fuel. In many communities where the ferry service purchases fuel, those prices are still high. No one on the advisory board argued that ferry service will be affected in coming years. Chair Robert Venables says the board should keep advocating for the reinstated summer service this year. Then the board will have to help plan for future years with reduced funding in mind.
Each board member should be as proactive as possible just to stay in touch, you know, with the legislators and keep just reminding them of the mission and commitment that is necessary to keep Alaskans moving in these communities that don't have a road. So, you know, I think that it's obvious that cuts have to be made, but we want to, really embrace our responsibilities to assist with the long-term planning.
Newsell put it more bluntly. He says the Marine Highway system is going to look a lot different in the future. He will be asking communities not what they want in terms of ferry service, but what they need on the most basic level.
Communities, you know, what is basic service? What does it take to keep your community running? Not what's most convenient, not what you would like to see, not what is nice to have, not what you've had in the past, but what does basic service mean for your community in terms of how many ferry visits per week your community needs to survive.
Reporting in Haines, I'm Margaret Friedenauer.
The Skagway Municipality and White Pass Yukon Railroad are still discussing details of a lease for the town's tidelands. The This week, representatives and attorneys are meeting in Florida in hopes of finalizing terms. Negotiations have been going on for years between the town and company. The town needs access to some of the property White Pass currently leases in order to move ahead with the planned Gateway Port expansion project. The company wants a lease that lets it control its trail and ore dock operations for the next few decades. Skagway Assemblyman Dan Henry is on the negotiating team for the assembly. He said a few weeks ago he hoped he would have the final lease ready for the assembly at last Thursday's meeting. But he and Assemblymember Steve Burnham were absent from that meeting, instead on their way to Florida to meet with White Pass officials one more time. Mayor Mark Schaefer says he can't specify what details are still being discussed, but he said in general they have to do with legal language in the lease. If the details can be worked out, White Pass will sign the lease and it will then go to the Assembly for approval. If the Assembly votes to approve the lease, then Skagway voters would have to okay it as well before it goes into effect. Even without the lease in place, the municipality is moving ahead with the Gateway project at the port. Engineering work on the project is proceeding, and the Assembly expects to receive preliminary design options and estimated costs for the port expansion this week. Since Henry and Burnham were absent from Thursday's meeting, the Assembly put off discussions and votes on the revamped trapping ordinances that were on the agenda. Those will come up again at the Assembly's next meeting on March 5th. State legislators are targeting for elimination an agency that limits commercial fisheries permits to conserve and maintain the economic health of Alaska commercial fisheries. A report by the Department of Fish and Game flagged the Alaska Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission's three highly paid heads and their slow pace for adjudicating permit cases. Lisa Fu has more.
The Alaska legislature created a system in 1972 to limit how many people can participate in commercial fisheries. The Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, or CFEC, was established a year later to administer and regulate the program. The report produced by the Department of Fish and Game questions the efficiency and organizational structure of the CFEC, including the need for three commissioners who head the agency of about 30 employees. The commissioners adjudicate cases as part of the process to determine who receives permits to the limited entry fisheries. The report says the commission takes too long to do this, with the majority of the 28 backlogged cases more than 15 years old. The report says the commissioners adjudicated only three permit applications in 2012 and another three in 2013. In the 1990s, they were going through up to 100 permit cases a year. This was part of the reason Representative Paul Seaton introduced a bill at the end of last session to eliminate the commission. HB 386 would have transferred duties to Fish and Game and a division of the Department of Administration.
If we have a system where we're not getting them solved or not getting decisions coming out of the current commission model, then maybe we ought to look at changing.
The bill got one hearing before the session ended. Seaton then requested an audit of the CFEC with a focus on opportunities for consolidation. The Alaska Division of Legislative Audit says it may come out this summer. Other issues highlighted in the Fish and Game report include the hiring of five retired state employees, some who work from home and are rarely seen in the office. Another issue is lack of leadership and accountability in the agency. The report has six alternatives for the organizational structure of CFEC. One mirrors Seaton's bill, which the report says would likely be the most cost-effective. Eliminating the commissioner positions alone would save up to $600,000, mostly in salaries and benefits. CFEC makes more than it spends. In fiscal year 2014, it made almost $8 million in revenue from commercial fishing permits and vessel licenses and spent around $4 million. Some of the excess has gone to Fish and Game. Kevin Brooks is Deputy Commissioner of Fish and Game. He says the department doesn't plan on doing anything with the report, which cost about $40,000. He says Fish and Game has no authority over CFEC. On Wednesday, Representative Louise Stutes introduced HB 112, which is similar to Seaton's bill from last year.
We're cutting costs in the state, and I think every agency needs to be looked at.
CFEC is scheduled to give an agency overview in House Fisheries Committee, which she chairs. Stute says the Fish and Game report won't be discussed. A hearing on her bill hasn't been scheduled yet. CFEC Commissioner Bruce Twomley declined to comment on HB 112, but says the agency will soon release a formal response to the Fish and Game report. He says a lot of issues highlighted could have been cleared up if CFEC had had a chance to weigh in before the report was finalized. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.